contentment. Oh, for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You're the heart of my contentment. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated tonight. I want to share with you for a short time, but a very important message. Amen. I want to share with you about love. Amen. Love, the key to victory. Amen. Love is the key to victory in church planting and in church building. It is important that we walk in love. Amen. So if you would turn in your Bibles with me and go to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. And we start reading from verse 34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you." A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Amen. Well, Jesus is telling us, it's a very short message tonight, amen. Jesus is telling us showing us the identification tag of a true Christian church. Amen. This is how you recognize a true Christian church. Amen. It is not by their signboards. You see, I see that Akwesi has a very powerful arrow, yellow something that he puts out there that says, what does it say? Lighthouse. It's like this way, church, this way. Well, Jesus didn't say you will know them by signboards. Hallelujah. Neither did he say that you will know them by their songs. So our singing is not what identifies us as a Christian church, a place where true Christians can be found, or that you have found a place, do you understand, where you can truly serve and follow Christ. It's not by their songs. neither is it by the church name. You know, Jesus Christ, if we call ourselves Jesus Christ Church, it doesn't mean that you have found the right church, that you have found the right company of believers. So how do we identify believers? How will a person know that he has found the right church? How do you know that you are in the right place? Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." This is how people can tell that they have found the disciples of Christ. Do you understand? If you have love one to another. Amen. So you begin to see that love in a church is a very, very important ingredient where building that church is concerned. Amen. Notice how it says, "By this shall all men," because everybody recognizes and responds to love. Do you understand? So it says, it's by this that everybody, this is by this, whether they are Ghanaians or whether they are Nigerians or they are Congolese or they are Sudanese or they are Romanian or they are Greeks, everybody is designed to recognize, to receive, and to enjoy love when they experience it. Can I have an amen? Amen. So it says, this is how everybody will respond to this one. This is how all men know. This is how, is that in your Bible? Is that how it puts it in your Bible? Does it say, "By this shall all men"? Yeah. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." This is the main thing that identifies you as a true Christian church. That you have love. When people come to church, they experience love in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Love. They experience true love. They feel that someone loves them. They feel that someone cares for them. I mean, if you met God, what would you expect from him? Huh? You would expect that he will show you love, isn't it? The Bible says God is love. God is love. Do you see? I don't know if there is anything that you are so much of that your name is synonymous with the thing. Do you understand? Can you think of something in your life that you are so much of that when you mention the thing, you might as well just mention the thing instead of your name? You see? But the Bible says that God has so much love that you might as well just call him love. Do you see? It says God is love. So if you met God, or if you went to a place which is described as God's house, a place where they say this is God's house, what would you expect and what should you expect? The main feature of God's house must be the experience of love. That people must feel loved, they must feel cared for, they must feel that God, they have come to God who is love, and this is his house. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So that is why Jesus told the disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." He said the same kind of love that you have experienced is the same kind of love you must also give. Amen. As I have loved you, that's how you must also love. Isn't that what he's saying? As I have loved you, that ye also, you also love one another. Amen. So any feeling that you have enjoyed, any care that you have experienced, and anything that made you feel loved and appreciated and cared for, is the same thing that you are also supposed to pass on in the church. Amen. If someone gave you a right, then when it is your turn to give rights, you are also expected to show love by also giving rights. Is it not the case? Yeah. If someone called you and you enjoyed it and you thought of it as a gesture of love, you felt that these people care about me, then you are also supposed to put out and give out the same thing. He said, as I have loved you, that's how you are also supposed to love one another. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus made this thing so important that when you read the Bible, you begin to see the importance that God places on love. Now, go with me to 1 John. Let me read a few verses with you over there. And then we can close. Amen. How many can understand my message already? It's very simple, isn't it? That we must walk in love. We have to have love in the church. Amen. This is how you know. He says, by this, is by this one. It's not by collar. It's not by signboard. It's not by your signboard. Amen. It's not by arrangement of chairs. That's not how you know. It's not by even hanging a cross in the building. That's not how you know you are in a church. Do you get it? If the cross in the building makes it a church, then what about the cross in the neck? What does that make that body? The temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not by the cross inside the church that you know that you are in the church, because the cross can be anywhere. But it is by the experience of love in the church that you know that I found true Christians. I have found the right company of believers. Hallelujah. Right. So, read 1 John chapter... Where do we start from? 1 John chapter 2. Read from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John. Not John chapter 1. But 1 John. Then chapter 2. When you find it, say amen. Amen. Right. Now, he's saying that, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Hallelujah. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So follow his argument. What he's saying is that, my little children, don't walk in sin. Okay? And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, and he is the propitiation of our sin, etc. Verse 3, he says that, now, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's how you know that you know God. Amen. Amen. Then he saith, he that saith that I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Do you understand? In other words, the person who he's saying that if we claim to know him and we don't keep his commandments, then we are liars. Do you understand? Now he says, if we do keep his commandments, one of the things that will be seen in us is the love of God. Can you see that? So, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, that means a person who keeps the word, in that person truly and surely, most definitely, is the love of God perfected. Then it says, hereby know we that we are in him. Amen. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. That means the light never went away. Do you see what I'm saying? Because what he says, that it is by this. This is how you know that the thing has worked. Do you understand? This is how you know that the thing has worked. When love has come. So a person who claims, oh, I've met God, I'm flowing with God, but has hatred and resentment for his brother, he says that that person, the thing never really worked. Gene, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. He's saying that if you say that your sins have been washed and you are changed and the thing has gone away, one of the signs is that you should be able to walk in real love towards another person. Do you understand? So a person who is he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness until now. That means that he never went into the light. Because if he had gone into the light, one of the things that would have happened is that love would have replaced love would have replaced the darkness that is in the person, isn't it? That is why in verse 5, he's saying that, verily, in him, whosoever keepeth the word, in him verily also the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. This is how we know that we are in him, because his love is perfected in us. And as we keep his word, the inevitable result is that we start to walk in love. So if we are not walking in love, says the thing, it never really started. Don't kid yourself. Hallelujah. Then in the next verse, he that saith, verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Can you see that? And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Is it not amazing? Yeah. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded him. Hallelujah. Now, go with me. We are not done with John, but just pause over there and come with me. Let me show you something in John chapter. John chapter. Let's read John. Let me see. First John. Okay. It's too fantastic. Okay. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Okay. Now, in John chapter 8, you read the story of Jesus and a certain woman. Okay. The Bible says in verse 3, the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then verse 12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Can you see? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you get it? Now, it's as though what Jesus is saying is that what you just saw, what you just saw is an illustration of what it means to be in the light. Do you get it? And he's saying that anybody who is truly following me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, you know, which is anybody who does what I have just done. Do you understand? Anybody who is showing mercy, anybody who is pardoning, anybody who is walking in love. Because when we come to the place, and I hope we get there, when we come to the place where we start to analyze what love is, you realize that love is essentially how you respond to people. Do you get it? How you respond to people and, I mean, what people do. Basically, how you respond to the actions of other people. That is the embodiment of love. Amen. So you see that Jesus gave the example and he said, remember we read the verse just before this one, which is saying that a person who is not walking in love is actually walking in darkness. And Jesus is saying that anybody who follows me will not, if you follow what I just did, if you follow, because here is a woman who has done A, B, C, and D, and therefore deserves E, F, G, and H. Do you understand? And some people have brought her squarely to be addressed. And they've brought her and brought her issues up, and they have quoted the scriptures to say that this is what this woman deserves. And then Jesus decides to take another route, you know, and says anybody who hasn't done something like that before, you know, anybody who hasn't done something like that before should be the first one to cast the stone. Then this is what he said. He said, as I have loved you, that's how you also have to love people. You get it? Because when you made that same mistake, what was done to you? Do you see? That was what Jesus was pointing out to them. That when you did the same thing, what happened to you? That's why he's asking. Anybody who hasn't done that before should be the first person to cast a stone. And as they couldn't find anybody, he ends up asking the people, you know, asking the lady, well, where are your accusers? There's nobody here to accuse you. So go and sin no more. Then he repeated to the people that, listen, I am the light of life. Anybody who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding the thing I'm sharing with you? You see, so let's go back to the book of John. See, this book of John, as I discovered, is a book that talks, not the book of John, 1 John, I mean, is a book that explains and talks a lot about love and how it should work and what it is. Amen. Amen. So let's continue. Go back to 1 John chapter 2. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Verse 10. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. because that darkness has blinded him. Hallelujah. That darkness has blinded his eyes. Now go to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In other words, this is how we distinguish the children of God from the children of the devil. Isn't it? Yeah. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Did you see it? Yeah. So, it's no wonder that Jesus is saying that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That this is the thing that sets you apart as a true body of believers who have met Christ. And he's saying that everybody will know you are my disciples if you have love. Now here he's saying that in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Can you see that? If you read on, it says, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay him? Do you see? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So what he's saying is that one of the things that takes away love is jealousy. Do you understand? That when we are jealous of one another and jealous of other people's behavior, other people's things, other people's relationships, other people's money, other people's possessions, and so on and so forth in the church, then something else enters us. Is it not the case? He's saying that not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. That's not love. That's not love. Isn't it? Yeah. He says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. For we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's how we know that we are saved. That's how we know that we have passed from death unto life. So he's saying that don't be surprised when the world hates you, because the world has not passed from death to life. Do you get it? Don't be surprised that the world hates you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, because they don't have it. And the first part of the thing we're reading in chapter 2 was establishing that, look, love is an inevitable result of a true encounter with God, because God is love. If we know God and have met God and have found God, one of the natural products that will come out of us is a genuine love for one another. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is why he's saying that this is it. When you see it, you know that you have found the right company of people. You know that you have met believers when around them you can feel love. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I think that's easy, isn't it? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Then in verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we perceive the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. Remember, he said, as I have loved you, the same love that I have loved you with, that is the same love that you must also love the brethren with. Hallelujah. The same things you have experienced, the same affection, the same care, the same forgiveness, you know, the same tolerance, the same patience, the same thing that you have experienced that has kept you in the faith, that made you feel wanted, that made you feel like, I'm in the right place. Oh, I like this company of people. I like this group of people. The same thing that was done for you is what you are also expected to do for another person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's why he's saying to them that this is how we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Do you see? And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren, because it's the same thing. What you have experienced is what you are supposed to give out. Amen. Amen. Lay down our lives for the brethren. That is the feeling that must characterize, or the feature that must mark our church. Amen. Amen. That people must feel, people going out of their way to lay down their lives. Do you understand? Not to do things because they are convenient, isn't it? Not to do things just because they don't cost anything. To give something to someone because you don't want it. Do you get it? Because you don't like it, because it doesn't look nice to you. So let's give it to somebody, or let's do something like that. You get it? So it is, he says, whosoever, verse 17, but whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Huh? How can he say that he has the love of God? Do you see? Because when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Isn't it? He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad like sheep that have no shepherd. So the situations of people seem to concern Jesus to the point where he will be moved with compassion. Do you get it? So if we claim to be his followers and we are not moved by anybody's situation at all, you get it? It's like, it's cry your own cry. Let's just meet in church and sing the song they raised. That's it. You know, they raised the song for us all to sing. We sing that together. But at the end of the day, everybody just mind your own business. Just, you know, solve your own problems. That is not love. Are you getting it? That is the wrong atmosphere. And when you are in such an atmosphere, you are the wrong address. You have not found the true believers of Christ. Hallelujah. He said, my little children, let us not love in word. Don't just say it, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, because love is a doing word. It's not a saying word. You get it? Love is not something you say. Love is not something you sing. Love is something that you do. Do you understand? Yeah, it's something that you do. It's an action. Do you understand? It's not a saying. It's not a comment. It's not something you say. It is something you do. A good question to ask ourselves all the time is, what have I done today to show that I love somebody? Amen. Because he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 19, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Hallelujah. Yeah, this is how we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. Amen. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ, his son, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Do you get it? So here, the scripture is also saying that walking in love, or the absence of that, is actually a reason for an answered prayer. One of the reasons, verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you see? Yeah, it's much like you and your child. Is it not the case? Yeah. As your children keep your commandments and do those things that are pleasing in your sight, what ends up happening is whatsoever they ask, they receive. Is it not true? Yeah. Even little children, even the smallest ones. Pastor Henry, isn't that the case? Yeah. Hallelujah. So one of the reasons for unanswered prayer is our inability to walk in love. Because we don't do those things that please Him. Isn't it? And we are not following the commandment He gave us, which is to believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. Hallelujah. So you see that there's a lot of hereby we know, this is the assurance, this is how we know, this is the verification, this is the confirmation, that is how the whole thing is. Amen. Amen. Then you go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. When you go to chapter 4 and you start to read, let's read from verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know, again, you see, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. So what it means is that love involves foreskinning. Do you understand? Love is not a response you give to someone who has treated you well. But love is something you initiate with someone, even if he's not treating you well. Are you getting it? He said that hearing is love. Not that we love God. And it's true. Not that we love God. Isn't it? But He loved us. You see? And then He took a step. Isn't it? He loved us. And then He took a step. He took the first step. The first step to make peace. The first step to walk in love. The first step to fix the relationship. The first step to do something and to bring the person closer to you. The first step was taken by God. He said, hearing is love. You get it? Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. So the love is God. Do you understand? The love in the church is the evidence of His presence. Yeah, that's because that is His nature. See, look at the last verse of the previous chapter. He says, hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. Do you get it? By the Spirit which He has given us. The Spirit of love that He has given us. That is how we know that we are actually with Him. Do you see? So He's saying that there are no ways of telling that you are in the presence of God, or that you are. It's not by a feeling. It's not by shaking. It's not by singing. It's not by anything. He says that no man has seen God at any time. Do you see? If we have love one another, if we love one another, then God dwells in us. And His love is perfected in us. Hallelujah. Hereby know we, verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. This is how we know it. He has given us of His Spirit. He has given us some of what He is. Hallelujah. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do you see? Herein is our love made perfect. How do you know that someone is just coming from the bathroom? When you start to see some of the signs, if the person says, I just stepped out of the shower, what would you expect? The person has some wetness from the shower. You feel that at least where the person has been is showing on the person. That's how you know that the person has. So as we're reading the thing, you can see that the whole thing is about God dwelleth in us. Love dwelleth in us. If we are in love, we are in God, because God is love. So here is God. He is love. If we also, if you find some of the love in us, you can tell where we have been and who we've been with. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. Then he says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Is it not powerful? Same, same, same. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, he says, there is no fear in love. Do you get it? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you get it? Fear, insecurity. He says there is no insecurity in love. Do you get it? If you genuinely love people, you don't have feelings that they are coming to take something you have, they are coming to spoil something, or they are coming to cross you, and they are coming to have a better relationship, or they are coming to get more noticed, or they are coming to have more attention, or they are coming to have... If you are walking in love, there is no fear, no such... He that has fear is not made... It means the love is not full. Do you get it? He's not made perfect in love means that he's experiencing a shortage of love. His love cup is not full. Hallelujah. Then he says, perfect love casts out fear. When love comes fully, it totally eliminates any type of fear or insecurities for that matter. Amen. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. So if you want to be loved, you first love. Amen. That's the example. Amen. We love him because he pulled the trigger first. You see, not that we don't love him because we thought it's a good idea to love him and then he loved us back. No, we love him because he loved us first. So if we want to be loved, if we want someone to say, I love you, then you must also first initiate the acts of love. Can I have an amen? Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Hallelujah. He said, it's not possible. He said, how can someone say he loves God but hates his brother? And the person is in God. He says, it's not possible. Do you understand? And how can someone say that he loveth not his brother whom he has seen? How can he say he loves God whom he has not seen? This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Then the next one, verse 5, chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that... Let me start again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Do you see? And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Do you understand? Anyone who loved the one who gave birth, loves what he gave birth to. Is it not the case? Yeah. If you love the person, you love what he gave birth to. So if you love God, one of the things you love is the church. Amen. If you love God, you love his children. If you love somebody, you love their children too. Hallelujah. One of the ways to show love to someone is to love the person's children. Amen. Because everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know, you know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Hallelujah. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. So it goes on and on and on and on. And you see that the whole chapter is just full of, you know, hereby we know. This is a chapter full of assurances, verifications, and confirmations. It says, don't just take the things you hear. You see, look at chapter 4, I think it is verse 1. First John, I mean. Something is wrong. Okay. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Do you see? So that is why the whole book is full of, hereby know we. Hereby we know. Hereby, this is how we know. This is the confirmation. This is the proof. Hereby we know. This is how, because you know the thing by the fruits and by the symptoms and the signs. This is not just what the thing is saying. Hallelujah. That's why he says, let us not love in word. Do you get it? And in tongue, but in truth. Hallelujah. So I'm praying that this church will be full of love. Amen. That there will be real, genuine love for one another. Loving in truth. Do you understand? Loving in truth. Not just saying, but in truth, in reality, that we walk in love for one another. How do we know we are walking in love? You just use the same love that you have experienced. That is what the Bible is asking. He said, as I have loved you. So what you have also experienced is what you transfer. Hallelujah. If you have experienced love in the form of forgiveness before, then you also forgive. If you have experienced love in the form of someone helping you one way or the other before, then you also help someone. Do you understand? If you have experienced love in the form of someone caring for you and calling and just checking on you, and it made you feel good and made you feel like you belong, then you also do the same for someone. If you have experienced love in the form of someone showing interest in you, you know, you also show interest in other people. Hallelujah. Whatever has been done for you, it's your turn to do it for someone as well. And Jesus gave the commandment, said, this is how you know that you have found my disciples. You know, don't go by the church's name. Don't go by where they meet. Don't go by what instruments they have. Don't go by what choirs they have. Just go by this one sign. He says, by this shall all men know, because love is a universal language. All men understand it. Hallelujah. All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight and let's pray for a spirit of love to be upon this church. Let's pray that people will walk in love. We will walk in love. All of us will walk in love and truth and true affection also for one another in the name of Jesus. Let's pray that prayer right now in Jesus' name. Everybody pray. Just pray that God will fill our hearts with love. The Bible says the love of God, it is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us love, who gives us the capacity to love, who gives us the ability to love. The Holy Spirit, it is He who gives us the strength to love, gives us the interest in people, even to be able to walk in love towards them. Let us pray that God will give us and cause our church to be marked by this one and this very important sign in the name of Jesus. Maka sotori balaba baro shenderi alaba baya molo bosheke deri alaba baya. Oh Lord, He said, believe not every spirit. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every confession. Don't believe everything people say. Check the place to see if love is there. If there is love there, you know God is there. If there is no love in the place, you know God is not there. No matter what they are singing, no matter what they are preaching, no matter what they are saying, you know that God is not in the place because there is no love in that place. Nobody cares. No one is interested in you. No one has the same care, you know, as Christ has loved us. Oh, yes, Lord. Makaborobo shakataria lababa mimoko sokotoria ilamo shoteli meseteria lababaraba baraba baraba ba miko sokotoria lababrusha naria lababa ebalababa. He that walketh not in love is in darkness up to now. He says it's in darkness. The person is not converted at all. No wonder a church full of such people is a church where Christ is not there at all. Christ is saying that He never came there at all. He has not done any work there. Because the first sign that God has worked in a place is that you're going to see traces of His love in the place. You will see love, God. You will see traces of love in the place if God is there. Oh, if God is in our lives, we will begin to show love and people will experience real love from us because God is with us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of love. Give us of your Spirit. Give us of your Spirit. Give us of your Spirit. Give us, oh God, of your Spirit. And cause us to be like you, that we may not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. That we will not be blinded by the darkness that we are walking in by not walking in love. In the name of Jesus, show us love and give us love. Fill our hearts with love. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we receive it tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight. And we thank you for your blessing. Please give us of your Spirit. Give us of your Spirit. Fill this church with love, O God. Let people find you here. Let your presence with us show forth in the form of love. Because God is love. How can we say that this is the house of God when there is no love? How can we say this is the house of God? The house of God is synonymous with the house of love. And we pray that we will be that house. That this will be a place where people will experience the thing that will be known for the most is the love you experience when you come to church. We pray that you will fill our hearts, every one of us, fill our hearts with love in the name of Jesus. Love for the people you love, the people you care for, love for your children, love even for the weaker ones, love for the ones who are still struggling, love for the ones who keep falling. love for the ones who are not as regular as we wish they would be, oh God. Love for the ones who are not as perfect as we wish they would be, oh God. We pray in the name of Jesus that just as you demonstrated love in how you related and handled the woman who was caught in adultery, so will we also walk in love towards people who fall by the wayside. Help us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be life shed amongst us. Let there be love. Give us a fresh understanding. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love. Sing it one more time. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love. Give us a fresh, Lord. Give us a fresh understanding, brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. I know you know Galatians 6:6. But this is Galatians 5:6. Said, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Only two things. Faith, which worketh by love. Period. Do you get it? Circumcision and uncircumcision was the way that the people would bring divisions among themselves. You know? And Paul was explaining that you are not better than somebody because of circumcision. Do you get it? No, it cannot be. All that matters in Christ is faith, which worketh by love. The engine of our faith is the love that we have. That is it. If you have the engine, which is love, and you have faith, the thing will work. Hallelujah. So that's why the scripture is showing us clearly that if we are walking in hatred and so on, the thing, it never really started. Though. It has not worked. Amen. I pray that God will fill our hearts with love and we'll walk in real love towards one another. Amen. Thank you, Lord, once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, let's receive the offering tonight.